I want to time travel to Saturday, just for a second. While most of Sitka played in the sunshine, all seven assembly members spent their afternoon crunching numbers. Here's Sitka Mayor Matthew Hunter.
We do need to make some cuts. We do need to raise some revenue. Depending on how we're willing to do that and how we plan, we may spend some savings too.
There you have it. The assembly will puncture the budget gap with a three-pronged spear of reductions, revenue, and reserves. They call it the three R's. The tricky part will be balancing those elements in a way that neither overburdens citizens nor undermines city services. The conversation that began in earnest on Saturday spilled over into Tuesday night's meeting as Hunter tagged each of the three R's with a dollar estimate. City Administrator Mark Gorman jotted down notes.
We want at least $1 million in cuts, roughly.
Yeah.
You're looking at these numbers. And the amount of cuts is going to be driven by whether or not we approve new revenue.
Hunter suggested the assembly look for $1 million in new revenue, generated by raising taxes or increasing user fees. In October, voters rejected raising property taxes to cover the deficit, so Sitka's assembly members must research other options and bring them to the table as ordinances for public debate. Here's Assemblyman Bob Petruski, Aaron Bean, and Tristan Gavon.
The raising of the sales tax cap, a tax on all fish boxes.
A needs-based senior sales tax exemption.
Other ideas include imposing a 6% sales tax year-round, a bulk fuel tax, and reevaluating tax exemptions altogether. Now, the fact that Sitka has a budget gap isn't unusual. As state money tapers, communities around Southeast are balancing their books, too. What makes Sitka's situation tricky is that over half of the FY18 budget deficit is concentrated in one area, the electric fund. The city is struggling to pay off the Blue Lake Dam, and it's weighing down the books by $2.7 million. Earlier in the meeting, Bean asked Jay Sweeney, Chief Financial and Administrative Officer, what would happen if Sitka simply didn't pay back the bonds on time. Sweeney said it would likely cripple the city's financial credibility.
And also could have collateral effect on the municipality's ability to borrow elsewhere from the state of Alaska. Again, having Sitka viewed, if it had the capacity to pay and chose not to, as being not in good faith.
So far, this hasn't been a problem. For the past 2 years, the assembly has simply patched the hole in the electric fund with money from the general fund. But the winds are starting to shift in how they look at this problem. Eisenbeiss, who once championed subsidizing the electric fund with property tax revenue, now thinks the fund should pay for itself. Basically, he'd rather see electric rates rise than tax citizens elsewhere.
As hard as it is to say, I'm leaning in that direction. Because if we don't make this electrical fund stand on its own, we're going to increase taxes or revenue in some other way. It's the same money coming out of the same 9,000 people's pockets. There's no way around that right now, unfortunately. So I want to see the electrical fund stand on its own as enterprise funds are designed to do.
This would herald a 22% increase, bumping residential charges for the first 1,000 kilowatt hours from 12 cents to 14 cents. Now, the assembly has mixed opinions on this. Some also want to eliminate the subsidy, while others prefer to simply reduce it. Gavon wants to scrap it in favor of a targeted subsidy that would assist low- and middle-income Sitkins. He suggested offering it to households that make less than $125,000 a year.
So I'd like to see this of more of a needs-based subsidy. I think that makes a whole lot more sense. We don't need to be subsidizing the yacht owners and, you know, other folks like that.
He added that a 22% rate increase might be manageable for them, but impossible for others.
I think you're going to see a lot of customers who just can't afford to, you know, use their electricity, and we'll see a decrease.
Petruski supported the idea, but wanted to lower the threshold for qualifying to somewhere around $70,000. Bean worried such a system would be abused, while Eisenbeiss raised concerns about whether City Hall could implement a needs-based program at all.
The logistics of such a program, I'll admit to knowing very little about it, but the implementation and logistics on a municipal level it's frightening at this point.
Keep in mind, this debate is based on policy ideas. Nothing has been put on paper yet. Hunter summarized it this way.
So I guess at this point, we have a starting point for our FY18 budget that nobody likes. And we have other ideas that may come as ordinances as we get co-sponsors.
Moving forward, it's up to the Assembly to actually sponsor ordinances for new revenue and bring them to the table, and up to the city to look inward for places to cut. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Emily Kwong.